Well, I really think it involves understanding that while our circumstances are somewhat unique in human history in terms of maybe either the degree of affluence, the technology, standard of living, you know, things like that, that we at our core are just like everybody who's ever lived in every place. And one of the things about that is we live in a world that is under the curse. And that sounds like this terribly negative thing to say. So if we're really positive thinking people, well, let's not talk about the curse. Let's not talk about sin. Let's not talk about death. Let's not talk about all of these negative things. Well, the problem is that actually sets us up for profound unhappiness. Because when we are viewing the world with expectations that life is supposed to go our way, that it's supposed to just be what we want it to be, nothing's supposed to go wrong with it, well, then what we do is we set ourselves up for profound disappointment. We get an entitlement mentality that says, I'm a child of the king. Things are supposed to go my way. That's not what the Bible says. It says we're children of the king if we know Jesus. But we are actually promised persecution and suffering. And I think of that passage in 1 Peter 4 with, you know, don't be surprised, friends, at the fiery ordeal you are experiencing as though something strange were happening to you. And he who would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Even Jesus in John 16:33, when he says, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So now what we do, if we adjust our we need in certain ways, Georgine, I'm convinced, we need to lower our expectations of life. Simultaneously, in other ways, we need to raise our expectations of our God, because he has promised us. If you just take Romans 8, I mean, think of what Romans 8 says. It says, the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. It says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. It says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It says, God didn't spare his only son, gave him up for us all. How much more will he give us of all things? And then it concludes, and I've left out a lot, but it concludes by saying, nothing in all creation shall ever separate us from the love of Christ, not life, death, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Well, even if you bought into the idea that some people have, well, you know, happiness is just based on circumstances, and our circumstances just come and go. Well, you know, we need to think of our eternal circumstances. We need to think of the invisible realities that should define our lives, and that's what faith does. Faith is like a forward memory, so to speak, in which we trust the blood-bought promises of Jesus that we will live forever in his presence, in utter and complete happiness, accepted in the Beloved, fully forgiven, cleansed, no more curse, no more death, no more suffering, and God will wipe away the tears from all our eyes. Well, when that is real in our thinking, then it informs our present lives. We can front load, so to speak, those eternal realities into our life today so that when Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, which literally should be translated, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the interesting thing is, it's present tense. Happy are those who mourn today, for they shall be comforted. So what we do is we realize the comfort that awaits us, the eternity with Christ that awaits us, and then we inform our present reality through the future blood-bought promises of Jesus for us, promises we can take to the bank. And that infuses our life today with a joy and happiness, even in the midst of sorrow.